You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
I want to introduce our speaker for this morning because, as you might have noticed, Pastor David is off to Tisalie, Arizona. So we are privileged to have, he always leaves us in good hands. This morning, I'd like to introduce Reverend Don Benton, and he's going to bring our message for us this morning. And he can tell you a little bit more about himself and his background. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Dee Dee. My sermon today, or my message, or whatever you want to call it, is God Interrupts. I've been practicing with the tablet all week long so I could bring you the tablet. You also know that I'm a belt and suspender person. I bring my notes on paper. For some reason, it wants to go back and train me on the tablet using Alexa. And Alexa and I go way back. We do not like each other. And I think she chose the time to say who's really in charge. I'm going to have somebody else read the scripture pretty soon, but I want you to share some things about this scripture. It's in the lectionary. There's nothing meaty about it, which basically means I have to dig deeper to find stuff in it. And the story of my life, which I could spend hours if anybody wants to hear it, basically is pretty short. God interrupted me every time I was trying to do what I thought was important. The most recent, just so you know, I was not appointed as a pastor this year, which could make me very bitter and hate the church and walk away. But I always look at it as maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe I can say what I want. Very few people like David Felden get away with that. And I have been appointed to some very, very, very conservative churches. With that in mind, this may not be as progressive as you'd like to hear it. But a couple things you do need to know about me. One, I have a high Christology, which means I have a high sense of the Holy Spirit or the Christ Spirit. I've done some studying with the Buddhist up in Chino Valley. Yes, there's a Buddhist retreat in Chino Valley. And without going into a lot of details, they truly believe there's a spirit more than they believe a God or don't believe there's a God. They don't make that the issue, if that makes sense. But they do believe there's a spirit. So you can be a practicing, you can practice Buddhism without necessarily giving up your Christianity. So that helped me focus in a lot of ways. Namaste, the spirit in me recognizes the spirit in you is the Buddhist, and I understand it's a Hindu practice as well. So my Christ spirit is very high. Jesus the man is fascinating. I believe that he was totally connected with God in his time and context. So we have to know his time and context to pull out of the scriptures what's really going on. Just to put a scripture on marble and put it on the outside of your church and say, this is it, unfortunately, doesn't really pull you into the depth of what Jesus was trying to say. And so I'm just trying to give you a background on me. I've discovered once I saw Jesus in context and his historical, his cultural, and the customs of his day, I can connect with a godlike being in Jesus. And so there's one more thing I want to say about Jesus I discovered. Because the Gospels, particularly John, like to talk in terms of Jesus' divinity, sometimes we lose the sense of humor that Jesus actually used. And where you see it most, it comes out, is in the parables. And I'm not going to be talking in the parables. I would love to go down that road, and I just thought, I was jumping all over the place trying to figure out what would my last sermon sound like. But I decided to stick with the lectionary and find a humdrum, mean-nothing scripture. So read the mustard seed sometime and think about those poor birds in a mustard bush falling out to their deaths because the mustard seed does not grow a tree. It grows a bush. So Jesus really was using his sense of humor to exaggerate what he was going. And so if you find my sense of humor offensive, this is just one day. It'll be over soon. You can go get your lunch or wherever you go to do that. I invite Denise to read our scripture for today.
This is from Mark chapter 6, verses 3 through 34 and 53 through 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow. Interrupting. Moo! Okay, I don't get to use my interrupting cow joke very often. But what other in general? How about vacations? A time to relax, to recreate ourselves, to get into a better mindset than the rush of life at home, work. Maybe a chance to get away from it all. Jen and I have had some absolutely great vacation. She's back there with friends of ours. She didn't even want to sit with me today. Hopefully we'll have a lot of time to sit with each other now. Okay. We've been to New England. We've been to Michigan. We've been to Montana, Yellowstone, all over the West, including Washington State, the West Coast beaches, the White Mountains, and even building a school in Bolivia. Yes, some of the best were worry-free. Yet some of the most remembered, there were confrontations or, let's say, they were challenging vacations. Part of that has to do with the fact that I owned a VW bus. And if you want to have a vacation in a VW bus, something is bound to go wrong. There aren't that reliable people made it out. Remember the 60s and 70s, a lot of people didn't really know what was going on. I did. I should have known better. But one of our best vacations was with a active pastor couple in Alaska. Now, I could spend the rest of the hour talking about how wonderful Alaska is, but I'll try to stick to the message. But sometimes the hardest thing to do is to come back from a great vacation. You agree with me? Okay. Today's passage with the disciples coming back after a trial mission where they go into town with just their sandals, clothes on their back, and what they were taught by Jesus. Afterwards, Jesus tries to go to a place that might offer seclusion from the crowds and spend time with the disciples alone, but the crowds kept coming and coming and coming. Jesus needs a vacation for sure. The irony that is that he does not get a vacation. He just handles the needs of the crowd because he feels that is more important than his own rest. Deus interruptus. Jesus gets interrupted. How can Jesus get interrupted? Isn't he God's beloved? Doesn't he deserve first-class seating, a warm towel and headphones with soft music playing, an ode to David, perhaps some jazz? Don't we all deserve some of that? Deus interruptus. Jesus and the disciples are headed for Bethesda when the evening storm blew them to Gennesaret instead. I had to practice that a lot, by the way. Notice Jesus' response. He does not tell the apostles to go out to the sea and try again. Instead, he disembarks and begins to minister to the people around him. Christ's response is the sea, the storm, as God's will, and to minister appropriately wherever he lands. How do we respond when our day is blown off course? We respond to daily or even life-changing inconveniences by looking for God's purpose? Or do we get angry and frustrated at the interruption of our plans and purposes? I found that the higher my personal agenda, the less I am able to see God's purpose in my daily interruptions. Yet, I've also found that when I make myself available to Deus interruptus, incredible and miraculous things frequently happen. Have you ever considered beginning your day by giving God permission to alter your agenda at any moment and at any time? A few months ago, I had some very strong words with God about my struggles, what I wanted to do for my ministry, and how God should honor, as part of my gifts to God's service, the service I give. The answer didn't come to me in words, but through the purpose, by interrupting what I thought I needed to do and guiding me to what I should be doing. A change in vocation needed to happen in God's time, and I needed Jana and my friends to help me find rest and purpose and restart the spirit Jesus empowers within all of us. I discovered I needed to be a follower of Jesus and less of a church leader. Now, there are many examples of interruptions in the Bible, and this is nothing unique for the people of God. If you have read or studied any part of the Bible, you know by heart the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors. You know by heart the stories of Samson, Ruth, Esther, Moses, Saul, David, Solomon. You've heard the stories of the prophets of the Hebrew Bible, which usually didn't end in happiness. And then there's the followers of Jesus, as well as Jesus himself. They all had different plans in their lives, yet God interrupted. It is a part of life. John Lennon said, "Life happens when you make plans." This is life. There are times I needed to let God interrupt me and to follow instead of barking out things that are not going my way or my time or my convenience. I found if I can just turn off the TV noise, all the political ads, the commentators to doing their will by getting me mad, but instead try to embrace the other in relationship, a humbling occurs. There's a peace, a rest, a chance to build trust with someone else by listening and helping someone else, other than ourselves. My goal is to build better relationships with those I already know, as well as those I meet. This may be tough for someone who spent a lot of his time thinking and writing and sitting on his duff. Writing about another time and place, Leo Tolstoy said, "I beheld the misery, the cold, the hunger, the humiliation of thousands of my fellow human beings. I feel, and I can never cease to feel, myself a partaker in a crime which is constantly being committed. As long as I have extra food while others have none, as long as I have two coats while there exists one person without any, I must seek in my heart at every moment, with meekness and humility, some opportunity for doing the job Christ wants done." The job Christ wants done. After a great vacation in Alaska with loving friends, I came back to a house that needed a new roof. We arranged to have it done the week I got back. The job was done in 3 days. There was one part that wasn't done right, and I checked on it twice that morning. The roofing coordinator finally said the job was done, and while they were leaving, I took them at their word, but I decided to go up and check it one more time. The flat roof where it meets the curved roof needed to have shingle caps on top, so the rain wouldn't go underneath the roof, the brand new roof. And they did not have that on when I went to check on it earlier. Well, I took a ladder to the second story to check what was done. And I saw the work was done, just to let you know. But three things went through my mind as the ladder collapsed underneath me. One, the new roof, the ladder was on, was slicker than the old roof. Two, I rushed a little too fast putting that ladder up that last time. And three, this is going to hurt. Falling on the first story roof, I had crushed my ankle. One of the first times in my life, one of the few times I should say, I was totally dependent on others. I was serving Chino Valley at the time. My friend, Pastor Jim Wilbank, used the last of his vacation to preach for me that Sunday. I learned to use walkers and figured out all the places I can lean on around the house, and I had to rely on members of the church to get me to work and home again. I felt miserable. Yet, I started to appreciate people who struggle with mind and body, people who couldn't do the things we normally do, and people who care for others as part of their daily lives. I also discovered there were people who are just waiting to ask to be helpful. Deus interruptus. God interrupts. We have to determine if it's a good thing or not. Did God push me off a ladder? No, I don't think that's the way God works. Do I think that maybe it was a wake-up call to be more sensitive to those around me? Maybe so. Maybe so. We all have things to learn. The challenge is to use events in our lives to learn of deeper things, fuller understanding of what's going on and make changes that will serve humanity and please God. Am I there yet? No. I have renewed my commitment to Jesus to follow him, love and support my family, and do what the church needs me to do for Christ's sake. For I believe if we follow Jesus, our earthly time may be hard, but beautiful at the same time. Our relationship with Jesus begins with making better relationships with everyone, even the other, especially when interrupted. As part of my commitment, I need to make myself more available to the community to engage with people. I need to know to share the love and grace of the Christ Spirit. I will share, just because Dee Dee mentioned it, I was down at the End Project a week ago Friday, and it was one of the most moving experiences I've found, and I just worked there. I did nothing to help there, packed things and sorted things, but the kids were just having a ball, and the parents were feeling like guests in our country, which we don't give that feeling to too many of our immigration friends. We may need to know how we need to look at the most vulnerable in society. We need to know that sharing what we have brings a lasting peace that greed does not. Maybe our scripture is told so we may know that we are always to go and bring Christ to others and ourselves be changed in the process. Jesus renewed people with the power of his compassion, as I hope he does for me. There's an ancient legend about a monk who found a precious stone, a precious jewel. A short time later, the monk met a traveler who said he was hungry and asked the monk if he could share his provisions. When the monk opened his bag, the traveler saw the precious stone, and on impulse, he asked the monk if he could have it. Amazingly, the monk gave the traveler that precious stone. The traveler departed quickly, overjoyed with his new possession. However, a few days later, he came back searching for the monk. Please, he requested, please give me something more valuable, more precious than the stone. Please give me that which enabled you to give me this precious stone. The Christ Spirit offers us a precious stone. Do we take it? Or do we learn what it takes to give away such a precious stone? The choice is always ours, and sometimes, and especially, when interrupted. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.